Amen. Well, good morning.
So I have a question this morning, and I'm going to pose the question, and then I'm going to bring it about. But it's, what do superheroes and Christmas presents have to do with church? That's a question I want to be able to answer today as we continue our I Love My Church series. So the implications of this answer are the question for the church family is bigger than you can possibly imagine. When you were growing up, did you have a favorite superhero? Who was your favorite? Nobody likes Superman. Wow. Okay, now we're getting some. Where was one? Mighty Mouse. Now, why did you like Mighty Mouse? Tamala, out of all the superheroes, Mighty Mouse. Wow. She wasn't allowed to watch TV. We're going to pray for you after service, Tamala. Mighty Mouse. Who else liked a superhero other than Mighty Mouse? Spider-Man. Why did you like Spider-Man? Because he's awesome. He's humble. All right. Who else likes superheroes? Captain America. Do you know there's a Captain Canuck? See, of course you don't know that, but there is one. Yeah. Why do you like Captain America? Yeah, Captain America is way better than Captain Canuck anyways. It's true. It's true. I'll give you that. All right. Who else likes a superhero? What else? What other one? Yeah. Superman. You know, Elton, I said that was my favorite superhero. And I told you a story a while ago, whether you're here or not, about when I was a kid and mom and dad took me to a drive-in movie. And I just really got to see on the silver screen the very first Superman. And it was just like, wow. But when you look at Superman, you know, the guy's got it all, doesn't he? He can fly. He's humble. He can run fast. He can shoot out lasers from his eyes. He has frost breath. He's bulletproof. Really, the only thing that can stop him is kryptonite. And when was the last time you seen that laying around? You know, Superman was amazing. Now, you may be saying this morning, come on, Pastor, this is kid stuff. This is church. Come on, what for? But I beg to differ. Billions of dollars in profits from superhero movies over the last few years have painted a different picture. See, there's something about superheroes that this world currently is absolutely fascinated about. I look up the definition of superhero in Webster's, and it says, a fictional hero having extraordinary or superhuman powers, an exceptional, skillful, or successful person. Now, I don't mean to criticize Webster's dictionary on their ability to be able to curate definitions, but I don't believe that it's inaccurate. I just don't believe that it's complete. Superheroes are extraordinary, superhero-powered, exceptionally skilled people. Yes, but that's only half of it. What makes them who they are? Superheroes are superheroes because they utilize their abilities with a specific context to help out in a specific way. Now, I don't care what the superhero strength is, whether it's flying, whether it's web slinging, whether it's running, whether it's strength, whatever that skill that person has, if they aren't using that power in a specific context to help in a specific way, then they're just some dude sitting on a couch. Having superpowers is one thing, but taking action is what makes that person a hero. If you're a follower of Christ, did you know that God has given you superpowers so that you could be superhero? Now, I'm not saying that he's made it possible for you to become famous and have movies about yourself. Now, most of us will never be known widely, but fame is not part of this equation. Fame is not what makes a superhero a superhero. A superhero is someone who utilizes his or her abilities in a specific context to help out in a specific way. In fact, I think part of loving our church is being a hero that God created each one of us to be. And that hero God has made you to be has superpowers. It's part of a superpower team. It has a community or city that is in desperate need for a hero. My friends, you have superpowers, for he's giving each one of us spiritual gifts. If you have your Bibles this morning, you can open up to 1 Corinthians, and we'll be looking in a moment at 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 4. Paul here is talking about our spiritual gifts. Let's read that. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each one of us so we can help one another. Isn't that amazing? God gives us, every one of his followers, at least one spiritual gift. A spiritual gift is a Holy Spirit-empowered ability that is given to serve others. It is a spiritual superpower, if you will, given to be able to use in a specific context, to be able to help in a specific way. Though not exhausted, some of these possibilities could be exhortation. The Bible talks about giving, leadership, mercy, service, teaching, administration, discernment, faith, helps, tongues, we heard that this morning, interpretation, knowledge, wisdom. There are two really important things to remember about spiritual gifts. Number one, God is the one who picked yours. This passage tells us that God is the one who empowers us. And when you couple that with Romans 12:6, which says, we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. See, there we realize that we didn't apply, we didn't request, we didn't campaign, we didn't petition or kick down a door to get those gifts going. God, in his infinite wisdom, his infinite love, his care, his power, knew exactly which gift you needed and which gifts you're best suited for. Just think. God blesses you and entrusts you with a specific ability to make a difference in our community and really a difference in this world. Number two, it's a Spirit-empowered gift. When you hear the list of possible gifts, you might be doing a proverbial head scratching. You might be thinking to yourself, well, you know what? I've had some really good teachers in my life. And some of them, well, if I'm honest, they didn't love God. In fact, they didn't even really like God. They were very clear about that. So how can they be a good teacher if they weren't given the gift of teaching? That's a great question. The thing is to realize that there are a lot of really good teachers out there. Some are amazing, incredible teachers. But there's a difference between great teaching and teaching empowered by the Holy Spirit. One of them is experiencing and exhibiting natural ability, which I believe is given by God as well. But the other one is exhibiting an ability infused with the power of the Holy Spirit to speak in such a way that surpasses the mere passing on of information and inspiration. If you remember the story of Paul, when Paul shared that gospel message after the infilling of the Holy Spirit, 3,000 people got saved. I believe that was a Holy Spirit-inspired message. I believe that was Paul stepping into the teaching ability that God has granted him. And when all of a sudden that came together, it was a powerful time. One teaching with spiritual gift of teaching does so while being led by the Spirit, guided by the Spirit, powered by the Spirit, supported by the Spirit, sustained by the Spirit, and that is incredibly different. I guess we could think about it like this. Every single one of us in this room would know Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson was a professional boxer who at his prime just, man, he blew the doors off of the boxing realm. If Mike Tyson was to come in here this morning and get ticked off with one of us and punch us, I think we would notice it. It would hurt. Now, Mike Tyson in his prime, I think if he punched us in his prime, we would really feel it. It would hurt. Now, if Superman was to come in here and punch us, it would hurt even more. Why? Because it's a supernatural ability. Superman is the man of steel. It'd be like being hit not just with a human fist, but with a bar of steel smacked with much power and much strength. There's more than natural ability going on. There's something supernatural happening. There has been many great leaders throughout history, but someone leading with the gift of leadership is exhibiting something supernatural. You've been given amazing ability to be used by God, and that is incredible and exciting. It's mighty also to be slightly confused because the question is, well, what are my gifts? Here are three ways that you can discover your spiritual giftings. Number one, get involved with the church somewhere. And if you're not sure where, then at the hub, Pastor Missy left off these forms here. And you can grab one on your way out. It says areas to serve. And this is not an extensive list. You know, we want to be a church that maybe your giftings are different. It's kind of like, listen, and on the back, it's all blank. You might write on the back, listen, I'm really good at this. Can this be used for the church? Write it out there. Submit that. I think sometimes we get fearful of that because we think, oh man, I don't know. I really like youth ministry. I really like nursery. But I know if I sign up for nursery, then it's a life sentence. And I don't want to do that. You know, here's the problem. I remember when I was a youth pastor, quite often after the service, Holy Spirit would highlight someone to me. And I'd walk up to them and I would say this. I said, you know what? The Holy Spirit has highlighted you. I was wondering if you could give me a hand in youth ministry for 3 months. And people were thinking, 3 months? That's it? Like, I don't want that life sentence, but 3 months I can do. It's like, let's do a 3 month serving there, and then let's have a meeting. Let's talk about it. And afterwards, after the 3 months, you're like, this is not for me. Thank you so much for helping. And may the Lord open up the right door for you. I think we have to have that kind of those kind of conversations. That all of a sudden we jump in and we say, hey, let's try that. And then I would meet with somebody, we would serve together. And after that 3 months, we would have a meeting. And it's amazing how many people's like, I love this. I want to go on all the time because this, I'm finding life in this. But the other people are like, thank you for the 3 months, I'm done. This was not for me. And bless you. Thank you for trying. Thank you for being able to go in that direction. And you know what? If I'm honest this morning, that was the heart. But I believe that the people the Holy Spirit highlighted, not one of them, I can't remember one of them, said, I don't want to do this. It's amazing. In fact, one of those people who the Lord highlighted left his job. When I met him, he left his job as a furniture delivery guy. And after working with us for a period of time, I had a church call me up and say, hey, listen, would you come and be our youth pastor? I'm like, you know what? I'm not interested. I love what God has for me here. But I know a guy, and he was my number one guy. And they're like, we'll take him. And he left us, and I blessed him to be able to go. And man, he just went and served the Lord in a full-time capacity. I would ask people if they would consider helping me out for a period of 3 months, and it was so, so fun. Regardless, it's dangerous to do nothing. Because when we do nothing, what's going to happen is you're going to find discontentment and frustration. The big thing is this. Where do you find life? What areas are you taking ownership in? When you take ownership in an area of service, even if it's from behind the scenes, you're going to grow in joy, fulfillment, and purpose. See, I found this little video that I think is so cool, and it really talks about ownership. Go ahead and play that. Is that awesome? Number two is you ask others. Remember last week I talked about letting people into your backyard? This is a great opportunity to be able to do this. Now, I'm running out of time, and I wanted to invite my friend Frank up, who I talked about last week, and to be able to ask some questions. But I'm gonna not do that in this service just because of the time. But when we sit together as friends, people who we've opened up our lives with, there's so much life in community. There's so much impact that takes place. I've got a few questions that you can jot down that I really believe that you can have a conversation with somebody and ask them questions to help guide you. And it's like, Lord, what is my spiritual gifts? The first one is, when you hear the different spiritual gifts, which ones come to mind when you think of me? Go out for coffee. Ask that question. Number two, when I'm doing what you see in the Spirit, what am I doing when you see the Spirit actively working in me? When you see life coming into me, what am I doing? Number three, how is it that I make this community better? Those are three great questions that I think can stimulate some great conversation. Remember, the point of these questions aren't to give us a big head. This is to help us discover how God has gifted us. No one will know better than the people who we're in community with and serving with. See, Pastor Missy also has, and if you'd like to get a copy of that, you can email her at missy@bozemanchristiancenter.org. But she has a spiritual gift assessment, and she can get that into your hands if you'd like that, and we'd love to equip you with that. So missy@bozemanchristiancenter.org. The third one is check your energy level. As you try different serving opportunities, ask yourself, how are you feeling? If you're tired and dreading going to serving opportunities and not feeling a load of passion, then whatever may be something that you're not gifted in. Now, the reason why I say here maybe is that, you know what, the truth of the matter is sometimes no matter what it is, you don't feel like doing it. You know, I haven't been to see a movie in a movie theater for, probably a year and a bit. And Cindy last week or 2 weeks ago invited me to go see that new Avengers movie. I love the superhero movies. And I know that I would have really liked it. But I've heard from so many people that it's about 3 hours long. And I'm just like, I don't want to sit in a movie theater for 3 hours. No thanks. And she's like, seriously? You're not going to go see it? I'm like, no, I just don't want to. And it's not because I wouldn't enjoy it. I just didn't feel like it. But yet, again, sometimes that's how we are when we serve. So after that trial period, if you're feeling deflated rather than energized, that may be a great sign for you to try another area of ministry. But I think this would be an area of listening prayer, because there's something also about perseverance. And I don't want us to cut that out. That's why hearing God is so important, that we listen as a family. We go and say, Lord, what area are you asking me to serve? What will bring joy and life deep into my spirit? The thing I love about the Avengers is that the Avengers isn't about one person. The Avengers is a team, an ensemble, a group. They couldn't meet the specific needs of Earth alone. They needed one another. This is God's plan for you and me as well. Romans 12:13 says, because of the privilege and the authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think of yourselves better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself. Measure yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with the body of Christ. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak with much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God is giving you leadership ability, take that responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. This passage complements what we read earlier in 1 Corinthians 12, and that you and I need one another. Here's the thing that might be hard to grasp, but if we allow Scripture to guide us, your gift was not given to you for you. The Bible teaches that spiritual gifts were given to us for others. Doesn't 1 Corinthians 12:7 say, but your gifts and my gifts were given for the common good? Your gifts were given to help others, to serve others, to benefit others. They weren't given for our enjoyment. Romans 12:5 even takes that step further by saying that we are members one of another, meaning each member belongs to the other. So your gifts aren't yours, they're mine. And my gifts, they're not mine, they're yours. Because God made the DNA of this church to be supernaturally infused with all these gifts. This should be a lesson for us in both humility and responsibility. Humility because the gifts is not about us, but responsibility because God knew someone else would need our help, would need to experience God working through our giftings to be able to minister to them. Truthfully, Thor couldn't save the world on his own. He needed the Avengers. And it was the same for the rest of them. The truth of the matter is, God doesn't need any of us. But he chooses to use and invites us to be used by him. He does this by bringing us together, mobilizing us together, teaming up to us together. Sure, there's strength in numbers, but numbers brought together in the hand of God and empowered by the Spirit, that's more than natural strength. That's the type of power that can change a church for God, a neighborhood for God, a nation for God, and a world with the gospel. Friends, we have been given supernatural powers. You are part of a superpower team. But remember, to just have power isn't what makes us a hero. There has to be action. This church needs you. This neighborhood needs you. This city needs you. Why? Because I think every single one of us in this room would agree. Bozeman, Gallatin Valley desperately needs God. And God, in his wisdom and his plan, has decided that he would empower us with the ability to serve one another. What sets us apart from the world? Isn't the world dog eat dog? Every man for himself? But imagine the body of Christ functioning as the body of Christ was written. Imagine the body of Christ serving one another, esteeming others better than ourselves. I think that's an unstoppable force. God in his wisdom and plan has decided that he would empower us with the ability to serve one another. And we have children's ministry that needs people to model Jesus. We have teen ministry that needs people to model Jesus, befriend them, become mentors to young adults. I think that so many times we hear people, I'm church shopping and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. Man, that's nails on a chalkboard for me. The truth of the matter is we need to get back to listening to God and say, God, why have you called me here? What is my role? What is my function, God? What are you speaking deep within my spirit? We have a community that desperately needs Jesus. Think about that. Imagine. Now I want to take us back to our original question. What do superheroes and Christmas presents have in common? For a church, this is what I open with. We talked a lot about superheroes, but I didn't mention Christmas yet. So let's switch gears. Christmas presents. Who doesn't like opening Christmas presents? I'll tell you who. The Grinch. Grinches don't like opening Christmas presents. Everyone else does. Now, maybe you're here and you're not too excited about opening Christmas presents. We could always start a Grinch support group. But maybe until then, let's just imagine back to our childhood. Maybe when you're 6 years old and you loved it. Picture being 6 years old, coming downstairs, and the biggest present under the tree has got your name tag on it. Woo! Kids love the big present, don't they? Oh. That big one's for me! And man, I remember as a kid going downstairs, I'm like, what's in that big one? What's in that big one? And my kids were the same. When you put the big, you know, you could have a diamond ring in a little box under there. And you could have a big box. And they love the box. Like, there's just something about it. It's just so exciting. So put yourself, you're 6 years old. You just are so excited. You've been watching that present. Christmas Day finally comes. Parents say, okay, go ahead. You walk up to that big gift and go, meh. And you walk away. Isn't that weird? Wouldn't that be strange? When you're given a gift, you open the gift. You don't just leave it sitting there. So what do superheroes and Christmas presents have to do with church? If you're a follower of Jesus and you're not utilizing your spiritual gift that God has given you for the betterment of the church and the community, then you're like a Christmas present that is ignored and unopened. You're walking up to the gift that God has given you, shrugging your shoulders and going, eh. Here's my final question. Why did God give you to this church? Most of the time we ask what we can get out of church, but that's the wrong question. Why did God give this community the gift of you? Was it because of your teaching, your leadership, your encouragement, your discernment, of whatever makes you that superpowered you? Why did God give you, why did God give us the gift of you? My friends, don't be an unopened gift. Discover the gifting that God has empowered you with. Discover the ways that you can passionately utilize that gift. Be the gift that you are. Serve the church, the community, the way that God made you to, with the gifts that he's given you. Be a hero for Jesus. I can't speak for you, but I know for myself, I want to be a hero for Christ. For our conclusion today, I'd like to invite up a hero of our church, Pastor David and his family, to come on up and share.
In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, we find the call of Abraham, challenging Christ followers to respond to God's calling in his life. And I'm going to read those to you. The Lord said to Abraham, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make them into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse you. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you." With that said, it's with great emotion that we, the Alexis, have been asked to fill the role as the Montana Ministry Network Youth Directors. And after much consideration and prayer and talking with the staff, we've accepted that position. 7 years ago, we joined this church, and not knowing what the next season was for us as children's pastors. And over the last 3 years, God has molded us into the leaders that we believe that this state needs. And it's been an unbelievable experience for us. Each and every year, there's been new things that God has done in us to grow us and mold us, and it's been amazing. We've made lifelong friends, seen lives change through Jesus, and been a part of a growing and thriving children's ministries, and that list goes on. This was never part, folks, of our plan. And we know that our plans are good, but God's plans are greater. And I know that right now God is stirring up in the heart of somebody to be the next children and family life pastor of this church. I know that God has this church in great hands with the pastoral staff and the people that serve this church. And it's not going to be an easy transition. So we beg you for your prayers, because we do have to move to Billings, which is definitely not Bozeman. So we're excited for the next season, but it's also bittersweet because we have to leave such great family and friends. And so if you would mind not today, just waiting until after second service, because we're going to announce it obviously then. And then we just cherish your prayers. Prayers to find a house, because we have to move out of ours by June 30th, which is only a few weeks away. And we don't get to Billings till August 4th. And so there's a month that we will be up at camp and in a cabin, but just that being in Kalispell area, trying to find a house in Billings is going to be a fun journey. But we know that God has it in control. And so, and this conversation today was the least exciting part of this whole journey, is telling our church family. So we love you guys, and we are excited for what Christian Center has and what God has for you.
Amen. You know, when the superintendent called me up, he says, "You know, Lance, I just want you to know that we're looking at four guys, and David is one, but I will not look at him without your blessing and your permission. Everything inside of me wanted to say, great, then no. But I never want to be a pastor who holds. But I want to be a pastor who releases, and I believe that this is Holy Spirit ordained. I'm not only losing an amazing staff member, but a great friend. But when saying that, I really, truly believe the Lord is on this and that he's going to increase. You know how Jabez prayed, oh, that you would bless me, Lord, enlarge my territory. May the hand of God be upon my life and keep me from evil so I'll not cause pain. Pastor David and his family have served well. And the Lord is now enlarging his territory as he's now going to look after children and youth for all of Montana. Who better for that position than our David? Amen? Amen. Love you. Bless you. We're going to do a big farewell for him and send him off with love and honor as he deserves and his family deserve. But I just wanted to encourage you. All right? Bless you guys.